Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. How are you doing, my brothers and sisters in Christ? I hope you are well and staying safe. And we are so glad you can be with us this morning on our Sunday service. We are, in fact, we want to pray and ask for God's blessing first and foremost before we proceed with the sermon. Shall we join our hearts in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come before you in this simple manner, come before your throne of grace. Thank you, Lord, for taking care of us, for blessing us, and keeping us over the past 1 year of COVID pandemic. We ask that you will continue to be kind to us, to let your face shine upon us, and be gracious to us in the coming days. And we know, Father, today you have a specific message for each and every one of us. So we now invite the Holy Spirit to come and bless us, to teach us, to give us the spiritual food that can strengthen our inner man and to make us better disciples of Jesus. This we pray in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. Pastor John is a brand new pastor. He has just joined a church, and one of his tasks is to go and know more of his members. So he took out the church directory and he looked through all the names, and then he had a roster to visit each and every one of the members. So by and by, he came to visit a member called Mary. She was quite an elderly person, staying all by herself. And when he went in, he was a bit shocked at the dreadful conditions of the house that Mary was staying in. There were only two chairs, one for him and one for her, with no other decorations on the wall, except for one piece of paper framed and hanging on the wall. So Pastor John inquired about that piece of paper and asked, "Where do you get it from? Why is it up there?" So by and by, he found out from Mary that she had worked for an elderly gentleman some years back. And before he passed away, he wrote something for her and then handed it over to her. And being illiterate herself, she didn't know what that man had written. So she wanted something, a keepsake of the old man. So she decided to frame it up and put it on the wall. So as Pastor John went nearer, he suspected it to be something, but he wanted it to be confirmed. So he asked Mary, "May I borrow this for a few days?" Mary said, "Yes, be my guest." And he took it to his friend in the bank and showed it to him. The friend looked at it and said, "Aha, mystery solved. For years, we've been wanting to know to whom this old man had left his fortune of about 10 million ringgit. Now we know who is the beneficiary. This old lady is in fact a multimillionaire, but it's just that she wasn't aware of it. How sad and how tragic. But then that also applies to many Christians today. We just do not know enough about how rich we are in Christ. So today, I'm going to approach this topic and hope that by the end of the sermon, none of us should go away not knowing what God has done for us, the riches of His blessing for each of His children. So we are now going to turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to this passage, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Verse 3, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will, according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. Verse 11. In Him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory. It is power-packed. It is very dense with doctrines. In fact, this epistle is known among Christian circles and scholars to be the queen of the epistle. It is recognized as one of Paul's most elevated epistles. In this short 13 verses, 9 times it is mentioned, in Him, in Christ, in the Beloved, and through Christ, 9 times. And then also is mentioned, the counsel of His will, the praise of His glory, according to the riches of His grace. In the original Greek, when Paul wrote this, verses 3 to 14 was just one long sentence. He was so animated, he was so effusive, it's as if he couldn't stop writing. And adrenaline was flowing when he wrote this, and he kept on and on and on, full of praise for God, for what He has done through Jesus, and also what the Holy Spirit does for us. So let us see, what are some of the spiritual blessings that He has given to us? First of all, I would, under this 13 verses, I have broken them down into 3 main headings. First heading will be predestination in Christ. Under this, we have God has chosen us in Christ. Then B, God has adopted us. Verses 5 to 6. Then the second section is redemption in Christ. Under this, we have God has redeemed us. Verse 7, and God has made known to us the mystery of His will. In fact, Paul was so excited when he was writing this that he was full of praise. He couldn't break out in praise for God. Just like the psalmist in Psalm 103, verse 1, he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. God also blesses us. Of course, when we say He blesses us with spiritual blessing, it doesn't mean that God doesn't bless us with material or temporal blessings. He makes the sun shine on the evil and the good as well, right? So He also blesses us with material blessing. But we focus more on the spiritual blessing because spiritual blessings are eternal. Material blessings are only good for a time. Then the third section is inheritance in Christ. God has given us an inheritance, verses 11 to 12, and we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. So there are many blessings that God has blessed us with. It is all impossible for us to know all of them. But what we can pick up from these 13 verses are these six main things, the blessings, spiritual blessings of God. Let me go through one by one. God has chosen us in Christ according to His foreknowledge. This has something to do with predestination and election, a very touchy subject among Christian circles. In fact, you may have heard of this group called the Calvinists and then the other group called the Arminians. Debate has been going on since the 1600s until now, and it will never stop. I think on this side of heaven, nobody can conclusively say which side is correct, because both sides have got biblical references that they can quote to support their stand. It is not, to me, it is something that is non-essential. So it doesn't affect our salvation. It doesn't, in any way make us enemies. We can disagree on this and still be friends. In fact, two of the proponents in the 1700s were John Wesley. He was a staunch Arminian. And the other one, his contemporary from England, George Whitfield, he was a strict Calvinist. So they were at loggerheads for so long. In fact, there were sharp differences between them, so much so they attacked one another through preaching or through writing of books and articles. Things got to a head where they couldn't stand each other anymore, when they were in fact partners in the gospel before that. But later on, they decided to agree to disagree because they felt that since it is a non-essential topic, they can be friends. And sure enough, when Whitfield died, who did he ask to preach at his funeral? But John Wesley. So they are able to unite, even though there were sharp differences. So my brothers and sisters, no matter where you stand in this, let us not split the church up or to divide among ourselves. Because there are many things that are still unknown. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the secret things belong to the Lord, but those that have been revealed to us belong to our children. So let us not try to drive us or drive other people away because they do not agree with our standing on this. So, but for me, I have found that God has chosen us according to His foreknowledge. Here you can see 1 Peter 3, verses 1 to 2. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with His blood. So He's always according to the foreknowledge. Romans 8:29, for those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. So, predestination, election has to do with how God chooses who will be saved. To the Calvinist, you see, God is sovereign, so God can elect unconditionally. Whereas Arminian takes the other stand. You see, we have to still believe. So in this case, when we see that God chooses us before the foundation of the world, it is always in his foreknowledge. That means God knows everything before it happens. And he knows the end from the beginning. So this one stretches right to before the foundation of the world. So God knows who will respond to the gospel message. And then when he knows that, then he selects and then predestinates that person to be conformed to the image of Christ. That is, from my own study, I feel it is based on foreknowledge. You can disagree with me, it is okay. We are still friends. Then the other one is, Romans 8:29, I've just read. And then the next one is, God predestined us for adoption as sons. Romans 8:15 says, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. So if we can call God our Father, there's a good sign. That means you are a child of God. The Spirit is residing in you, and the Spirit is activating you, prompting you to call out to God the Father, Abba, Father. And then John 1:12 also says, but to all who receive him, who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. He predestined. And in the Roman law at that time, adoption is something that is complete, is something very serious. And if a person is adopted, he gets full rights as the legitimate children of the person who is adopting the person. And he has broken away from his past background and past family life to be now in the new household. So God has adopted us, given us full rights as children. That's why later you can see we can be heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And as sons, we are accepted, of course. You remember the prodigal son, the man who sold off everything that the father gave him, he went and blew it all away. And then when he realized his mistake, he wanted to go back very humble and ask the father to receive him back as a servant only, no more as a son, because he has discredited himself. But when he was approaching his village, his father saw him. And we can read in the account that the father ran towards him, was so happy to see him, and with two arms, he embraced the prodigal son and restored to him the full rights of sonship. The father could be the person, and the left hand could be, you know, the Holy Spirit, the right hand can be Jesus. So the whole Trinity is involved in receiving back somebody who has turned away from Christ. The next thing we want to consider is God has redeemed us from the curse. Why is that? Because we know in Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. We are redeemed through Jesus. Because before that, we were all sinners. Because we have inherited the sin nature from Adam and Eve. And because we are sinners, we have turned away from God. Our default mode is to turn away from God and to have nothing to do with God. And as a result, we can never go back to Him without the intervention of God. So God sent His only Son to redeem us because there's no other way. And God indeed sent Jesus from Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. This Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. The tree there would, in the Old Testament, would refer to the cross. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Does it mean the law is bad? No, the law is holy and blameless and perfect. What the law does is to point people to Jesus. Because there's no way any human being would be able to meet all the requirements of the law. In fact, the rabbis at that time have cataloged altogether 613 commandments from God. And the Bible is very clear, if you trip up on one, that means you have broken them all. So there's no way a person can justify himself by trying to fulfill the law. So that's why he has become a curse. And Jesus came down and took the curse upon himself so that he can win redemption for us. And this redemption is bought through his precious blood. Just now we celebrated the Lord's Supper. It is a reminder to us about what Jesus did on the cross for us. Without the remission, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness or remission of sin. So Jesus had to die. Just shedding one or two drops of the blood is not sufficient. He needs to be the sacrificial Lamb of God. And that he did by going to the cross. And he has redeemed us because nobody else is able to do that. Only Jesus, who lived a perfect and sinless life, is qualified to do so. Colossians 1:14 says, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. In Jesus, we have that. So when he died on the cross, the shedding of the blood was for our forgiveness of sin. But Jesus had victory over the devil, not by his death on the cross. So a lot of people say, oh, we are saved by the death on the cross. No, we are saved through Jesus rising again from the dead. Because the sting of death is sin. And Jesus defeated sin, defeated death, and also defeated the devil. So Jesus had to die to shed his precious blood, to redeem us, to pay for our sins. Redemption means to go and buy out somebody's slavery. Before that, we were slaves to sin. So Jesus came, paid the penalty, and then redeemed us. So now we belong to Him. We were bought with a price, the price of Jesus' own blood. Let me illustrate to you what grace and mercy. To me, there is a small distinction. Some people tend to mix the two up and say they mean the same thing. But to me, there's something more to it. First, you see the white lines. Zero means we are okay. We are not negative or positive. We are not deficit or in surplus. We are at the zero base. So the negative sign means we owe. We are in deficit position. And we know from the gospel of the unforgiving servant that he owed the master a lot. He couldn't pay. The master forgave him, but he couldn't forgive his other fellow servants who owed him just a small amount. So, you can see from here, mercy. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. We deserve that. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. So, Jesus, if Jesus had brought our deficit position down to zero level, we would already been okay, right? But on top of that, He was gracious enough to do something more for us. Grace is like getting what you don't deserve. We don't deserve anything. We have not done anything to benefit from God's kindness or mercy. But because He wants to lavish His grace upon us, so He has given on top of that forgiveness of sin, He has given us eternal life. So how great our God is, how merciful, how gracious He is. So let us consider the other one. God has revealed the mystery of His will. Mystery, sometimes people think, is something that is hard to understand or beyond our understanding or comprehension. But it is not. It is to be seen as something that were hidden in times past, but it has now been revealed. So the mystery is no more a mystery, but it has been kept secret for a time. Then according to the fullness of time of God, the mystery is revealed. So in this case, God has revealed the mystery of His will to us. Romans 16:25, say, now to Him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages. Colossians 1:26, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to His saints. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So for too long, the Jews thought they were the only ones that would be saved. They were called out to be holy so that they could reflect God to the pagans, to the Gentiles. But along the way, they became too exclusive. So they ostracized the non-Jews, the Gentiles. They wouldn't even want to visit with them or have any association with them because if they did so, they would become unclean. So they were not able to effectively share God with other people. Then, in the fullness of time, God came, Jesus came, He lavished His grace, not only on the Jews, but through Paul, who was called to be the apostle to the Gentiles. He saved many Gentiles. And the mystery is God is the Savior of the world. He loves not only the Jews, but also the Gentiles. So in the fullness of time, He wants to unite all of them into one body, which is called the universal church, which is the body of Christ. So we are blessed through Abraham, because Abraham's promise from God is that he will be blessed to all nations. And we are now blessed through Abraham because Jesus came through the line of Judah. So God has revealed this mystery. Now, we shouldn't see each other as Jews or Gentile, male or female, slave or free. God sees everybody. He doesn't make distinction. God is a God who is equal in treating His friend or His disciple or His followers. Then, the next one we want to see is, yep, okay, Now we want to see, God has revealed the mystery of His will in the inheritance. Romans 8:16, we become heirs and joint heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may be glorified with Him. And then in 1 Peter 1:4, we know that our inheritance is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, which is kept in heaven for us. So this is the inheritance that God is going to give each one of us. It is the inheritance that no moth will attack and no rust will corrode. It is something permanent. Our spiritual blessings are eternal and not transient. And then the other category is that we are now sealed with the Holy Spirit. So God has saved us. He has adopted us. He has chosen us right from the beginning. And then in order to confirm to us our standing in Him, He has given us the Holy Spirit as the seal of our inheritance. And 2 Corinthians 1:22, and who has also put His seal on us, given us His Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. So normally when you see something, important document with a seal, it means that it is something official. It is to avoid tampering by other people. You have a seal. If the seal is broken, you know somebody has fiddled with it, and then you can reject whatever it is. And then the seal also demarcates the ownership. If you put your own seal on it, it means that you are the owner of that piece of property. So God has put His seal on us through the Holy Spirit. So God is saying, I have put a down payment for you. I'm serious, and I'll come back and fulfill the rest of your redemption. So in redemption, we have these three things, you know. We were saved, in Titus 3:5, you see. He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but by virtue of His own mercy. We were saved. We also have another one called, we are being saved. In Philippians 2, it says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That means sanctification continues with us. So we are not just to receive Jesus and say, now I've got my certificate to go into heaven, so I don't need to do anything and kick back, sit, relax, and enjoy my life. No, we need to continue to walk with Jesus. Salvation, we are still being saved. Sanctification process is ongoing. God can wipe out the rough edges on us. He will make us better. He can transform our minds. Romans 12:2 is saying, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. So the Holy Spirit is there to take the word of Christ, to remind us of what Jesus had taught, and then to bring us to Him, and also to bring reminders of what Jesus has commanded us. So we need to do that. So we are not supposed to grieve the Holy Spirit, because He's there. He's working a mighty work in us. So let us cooperate with Him. We were sealed for the day of redemption. So in summary, you can see here, it says, I am blessed. Blessed with every spiritual blessing. Not one, not two, everyone or all of the spiritual blessing that can be found in Jesus. I'm chosen. I'm adopted. I'm accepted. I'm redeemed and forgiven. And then one more you can add is, I have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. So now people say, why did God go to all the length to bless us with so many things? He could easily have saved us and left us alone and not bother with us because we are sinful people always rebelling against him. But God has saved us for, from what I can see from this passage, three main objectives. The grand design. What is the grand design of God? To bless us with so many things because he wants us to be holy and blameless before him. Holy in the sense that we are called out for a purpose. He has great plans for us. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." And by saving us, Jesus is also at the same time reconciling the world to himself. It is part of his overall grand design. When God first created the universe, that was way before he created human beings. There was perfection in the world order, in the spiritual realm, until Lucifer came and rebelled. And one third of the angels joined him in rebelling against God. And then they were, as a result, cast out of heaven. And then they came down to earth, and when Adam and Eve were there, they caused the first human couple to sin against God. And everything was in topsy-turvy, and now creation is groaning because of sin, the presence of sin in the world. But one day, Jesus is coming, and he is going to unite everything to himself, and he will create a new world order with a new community of people, the new humanity, people who have chosen to be with Jesus. Someone they have picked up, he has picked up, and he has changed and transformed. So there will be a new humanity in this new heaven and new earth. We will be heirs with him, and then we will enjoy heirs with Jesus. So let me summarize quickly. One is blessings. We have, as you know, we have so many blessings, we cannot even begin to count. But from this short passage alone, we already pick out six major ones. So our destiny has already been sort of determined. We know where we are going to, which is something that a lot of people are still groping about because they do not know their own identity and where they are going. What is the purpose of them being on earth? But we know all that, and we have blessings from God. So because God has blessed us so much, he has forgiven us, we can also likewise forgive people who have transgressed against us. So my question to you, brothers and sisters, is do you have anybody in mind that you have not forgotten and is troubling you? Today is the time. Today is the time when you can pick up a call phone and call that person and say you are sorry, that you would like to get back together with that person. And it is always good to know that our destiny, we have a reservation for heaven. Because before the COVID-19 lockdown, I used to go to India for mission trips. And then we had to always go stop over in Calcutta. And Calcutta is a very strange place. The flights from Malaysia will always arrive there past midnight. And then by the time we checked out from the airport to go into the city area to get into the hotel, it would be about 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. So it is always reassuring for us that we know we have reservation, confirmed reservation, so that in our tiredness, we know that we could just go in there, have a decent place to rest before next morning flying out again. So we have already got full reservation in heaven. That's reassuring. So let us forgive others, people. Don't take life so seriously. We should be able to just overlooked some slights or insults to us. Then what is the objective? The O, God wants us to be holy and blameless. So let us live lives that are sort of befitting our call. We are called to be sons and daughters of the living God. So we need to live up to that kind of standard expected of us. But we are not supposed to do it on our own strength. The Holy Spirit is in each one of us to empower us to live this supernatural life. So be always conscious and aware that you have these resources to tap into, especially when you are facing temptation or when there's sin in your life. Be quick to confess your sin and get right with God so that the devil will not have a foothold in your life. And then we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Let us not grieve the Holy Spirit. Let us not quench the Spirit, but instead cooperate with Him, because He is there as our comforter and our counselor. Let us work hand in glove with Him. And then I also am conscious that there may be some who's listening in today who have not believed in Jesus. So I want to extend this invitation to you. God is calling you. He wants everybody to be saved. If you have heard the gospel many times and have not made up your mind to welcome Jesus into your life as your Lord and Savior, I want to urge you today not to lose any more time. Life is uncertain. We have to make the full use of whatever opportunities there are. So the opportunity is again here for you to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Do not forsake this opportunity. You never know what will happen tomorrow. So I want to ask you, if you want to know more about how to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, give a call. Go into our website. There are numbers for you to call. Or those who have already made a decision to follow Jesus, let us know so that we can rejoice with you. And for those of us who are already in the Lord, I know we are going through trying times. Sometimes we trip and fall. But I urge you, brothers and sisters, not to remain down there, but get up quickly and know that we have all the resources, all the spiritual blessings in Christ for us to live a victorious Christian life. So if we fail, it's not because God has failed us, it's just because we refuse to take advantage of whatever has been put at our disposal. So with that, I would like to conclude this sermon. And now you know you are sitting on a mountain of blessings and riches in Christ. What are you going to do about it? Decide wisely. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for teaching us again that you love us so much. You have sent your Son Jesus to come and die for us while we were yet still sinners and your enemies. But you have deemed it worthy, Lord, of your effort to come and save us. People who have turned our backs to you and who are always rebellious and sinful. But yet, Lord, you have chosen us before the foundation of the world. We praise you. We thank you. We want to say, like the psalmist, say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and not forget His benefit. Thank you, Lord, that you have indeed found us when we were still in the darkness. When we were no people, you made us your children. And now you have great plans for us. You have brought us, Lord, into your kingdom. And now, Father, help us as you have blessed us so much. Let us be a channel of blessing to other people as well, Lord, so that your name will be glorified. And Paul says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We want to echo that. We thank you. We praise you. We bless your holy name. In Jesus' most precious name, we pray. Amen.